probably brought back some memories there for some of you who grew up with that beautiful book. Maybe new to others of you. All right, so the Sermon on the Mount. This is what we have been dealing with for almost a month now. We get these little segments. And I kept thinking, if we really want to know what it means to be a Christian, I mean, we should go to the sermon of all sermons, the one Jesus preached, right? So I have a challenge for you. I would like you to go home and in your devotions, spend some time on the Sermon on the Mount. It's Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Again, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. I mean, if you are ever struggling about what it means and how to live, why not start with Jesus' words? So what do we do as preachers and as the church? We take it into segments. And then we try to do our best and figure out what it is that Jesus is saying to us. You know, and as you look through it, some parts of the Sermon on the Mount are very comforting. You know, Jesus preaches about letting go of your anxiety. And then some parts of it are super challenging. And I have to say, today's piece of the Sermon on the Mount, for me, is super challenging. Every time it comes up and I have to preach on it, I'm just flabbergasted. I always go, I don't know what to say. And so I actually went back to look at the last sermon I preached on this, and I was just as crazy as I was last time. Because it's hard. So I'm talking to a friend of mine, and I said, have you ever heard, you know, somebody preach on this segment of the Sermon on the Mount? Well, yes. Do you remember any of them? Is there anything that stood out to you? My friend says, the one that said, Jesus isn't telling us to be a doormat. You know, turn the other cheek, give the extra clothing, all that stuff. You know, that you have to stand up for yourself. There's a point of giving, and then there's a point of not being walked upon all the time. And I said, that person was really trying to grasp for balance, right? But in reality, I can't preach that because Jesus isn't offering us balance, people. Like, this is a cry to us to love our enemies. I mean, think about who your enemy is and really honestly ask yourself if you love them. You may be better than I am, but I'm just saying, this is hard stuff. But it's how we're called to live. So last week, I did a little dance up here because it was, you've heard it said, but I say to you, we still are carrying on that. So last week, you've heard it said, do not murder, but I say to you, don't even get angry. You know, you have heard it said, don't commit adultery, but I say to you, don't even lust. Right? Jesus is stepping up the game, making things more complicated. So today, it is, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, if someone strikes you on your right cheek, go ahead and give them the other. Or if somebody sues you for your coat, take off your cloak also and just hand it over. If somebody is going to make you go a mile, why don't you go another mile? Do more than what is asked of you. Give more than what is asked of you. This is the part where we hear, you've heard it said, love your enemy, hate your neighbor. I can do that one. Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemy, pray for those who persecute against you. I mean, this is a radical, non-violent love. This is absolutely a self-emptying of love. You know, how much of ourselves do we have? And then, of course, he says, and by the way, be perfect. Just as the Heavenly Father is perfect, you too be perfect. Come on, Jesus. Now, the translation of perfect in the Greek doesn't mean perfect as we will translate it in English. It actually means kind of like the army slogan, be the best that you can be. Which reminded me of the sermon that I was preaching on, the segment of the Sermon on the Mount where he's talking about letting your light shine. And I went through story after story of how when you can just be who you are, your light can shine. You can change people just with the most simplest of acts. And Jesus is still saying that when he says, be perfect, be who you can be. And when you do that, the light of Christ shines in you. And now, stepping it up even more, Jesus is calling you to turn the other cheek, to give your cloak, and to love your enemy. It's absolutely beautiful. It is a beautiful thing. But it is a challenge. And we want to balance it. Which is why I just can't preach on it, right? So I'm driving home from the funeral I was at yesterday, and I'm trying to think of stories about how we can love more, how and what we can do, and not tell you to be doormats that can be walked upon, right? And then suddenly there was this like calming moment, and I felt Jesus kind of saying to me, you know, Dana, you always seem to struggle so much with what this is, but that's how I love you. And then I thought, oh my goodness, well, thank goodness Jesus says this. I mean, think about it. Jesus' love for us is definitely not an eye for an eye, because, or a tooth for a tooth, because I tell you what, if it was, I probably wouldn't have any teeth left or my eyes left. We have a God who just forgives. And when I have those moments where I'm like, look at everything I've done, God, you know, can I have this too? You know, Jesus says, you know what? I hear you, but I'm going to give you something better. I'm going to step up the game. I'm actually going to give you eternal life. And you know what? When we talk about loving our enemies, how many of us are enemies to ourselves? Mentally, physically, emotionally. And how many times are we enemies to one another? Even within a church, people can become enemies to one another. So it's not just that person that you think of or you point your finger at and say, that person I can't stand. That person is my enemy. They are everywhere. And you know what? God loves all of you, all of us, and even that enemy. So if God can love, then we too are challenged. I mean, think about how many times in our life God just gives us that which is perfect. I think it's why we love stories like Footprints in the Sand, where you got two people walking together, and then suddenly there's one set of footprints, and of course, us being the human beings we are, we're like, where'd you go, God? Why'd you leave me alone? That was a tough part of my life. As if we're pushing God out of the way because God's not there. And that's when Jesus comes back in and says, no, you don't get it. You're like, I was carrying you. I was carrying you. We love this because we know how perfect God's love is for us. That's why stories like the giving tree are so powerful. Think about the self-emptying love that tree had for that boy. It gave all that it had, knowing that all that it was from God. Because maybe what we're giving to others when we turn the other cheek, when we love the enemy, when we give more than what we're asked for, isn't actually coming from ourselves. Because if we're filled with God's love, then that's actually God's love that is coming out of us. Think about that tree again and how much it gave to that boy. Now I want you to think about all of our creation and how much it gives to us so we can live more comfortably. And our creation that God gave us continues to adapt to the ways that we use and abuse it. And knowing that gift that we have, how can we not want to care for it? We want to care for all that we are given for. You know, and so maybe this turn the other cheek and this give your cloak and go the extra mile and love your enemy is less of a challenge and more of a gift. You see, we receive this amazing love from God. How can we not want to share that with others? Amen.